It's good to be here this morning. I love to share something that was brought to my attention this morning when I was reading the Bible. And sometimes it's strange how you haven't ever read it before, but yet you know you've read it, but it didn't really dawn on you what I think the truths that are being shown. I love the fact that we can be in that holy city right now. In Revelation 21, 23, it declares that Christ is, I believe, the light of that city. If that is something that's out there in the future, we got a problem. We need a beloved city. And the way it's described in Revelation is that it's 1,500 miles cubed. It's a pretty big city. I'd like to think that there's some rural areas in there, woods and streams, but in the heart of the city it says there's a tree of life and that Jesus Christ, the Lamb, is the light of that city. So I'd like to share a little bit about Christ victorious forever, and I'm thankful that we have a victorious Christ, that he defeated darkness. But that defeating of darkness, when he was made to be darkness for 3 hours, made to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, Christ in him, that occurred by the Father delivering him from that darkness. And I believe, in essence, the Father, after punishing his Son, the Son of Man, for 3 hours, from the sixth hour through the ninth hour, when the Gospel declares that there was darkness on the whole earth, I believe God could put out the light in the whole universe, suspend physics for three hours, and plunge the whole world, the whole universe, into that darkness because Jesus Christ was made to be sin during that time. But at the ninth hour, the declaration of God the Father was to raise his Son from that darkness. And many people preached that that was 3 days later at the physical resurrection. I don't believe so, because the Lord said himself that he had the power to raise his own body. Therefore, he had that glorified power at 3 o'clock when God the Father raised his Son to be victorious over sin and death and the law of sin and death. It was a declaration that when he brought light back into the world, that Jesus Christ had defeated death and darkness. And so the Lord said, "It is finished." And he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." He had that power to lay down his body. We don't have that power unless we commit suicide. But the Lord Jesus, he had the power to lay his physical body down, which saw no corruption for 3 days. There is no human being that's ever been in the tomb that has not, has been like Christ was, where his body didn't decay. Nor did his soul suffer corruption during the 3 hours of darkness. I believe because the Son of Man was punished, who is our representative, who is our elder brother, who is our kinsman redeemer. And therefore, we have light that has been brought, just like, and I have mentioned this before, Brother Don Ferris, he takes the first verses in the Bible where the earth was in darkness and void, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep, and then God said, "Let there be light." Well, that pictures us. We are in darkness. Before we're born again, we are darkness. But there's something remains in us that's darkness that we fight against the rest of our life, that the Apostle Paul declares that he's the chief of sinners. We still have darkness in our old nature, that's a carnal mind and a natural spirit. So we have to beg God for help to fight that darkness, because left in our natural Adamic state, we will have all manner of sinfulness, and we will be groping in darkness and gnashing our teeth. I think those are verses that children of God need to be reminded that we need to beg God for help. And he is our strength. So there's verses that I'll read in John 3 here in a second. But just to add a couple points, that the gospel is light unto life and immortality. So I like to talk a little bit about light and darkness. Light is truth. Darkness is our lies. So the gospel is not darkness unto life and immortality. It says that it is light unto. It tells about what he's done. It doesn't give life. It doesn't give immortality. Only God can say, let there be light in us when we're born again. We don't have that power. Today we have spiritual evolution that is alive and well, and I think that's where physical evolution came from, because spiritual evolution was alive and well, saying that something dead can bring itself to life through an effort of its own. It's alive. So we need to find what's in that city, because on the outside of that city it says there's darkness. That can't be heaven. And that those verses, I believe all of Revelation was written to declare that Christ is victorious forever, and that we need to understand who Christ is in us, the hope of glory. That brings time salvation. We can't effect eternal salvation. None of us knows when we were conceived physically. Our fathers conceived us in our mothers, and we came into existence. But in their mind, I hope that they desired to have a child, just like God desires to have children. And therefore, we were in the mind of God in the covenant of grace before the world was created. Before he said in the physical realm, let there be light, he chose us in Christ. And in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, born of Mary through the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, conceiving in her, Jesus Christ, we have the light come into the world. And there's some verses that talk about that. He is our light. We don't have any light in our own nature. There's no darkness. None of us would ever choose God prior to being born again. But yet religions all over the world declare that you can do that. You can say a sinner's prayer, or you can do something to get something. I tried that for 25 years where I went to church and was taught, you got to say something, you got to do something. So I remember crying as a little kid in bed thinking I was going to eternal hell because I hadn't said the right words. Well, I'll say this and maybe that will affect eternal life. That's, I believe, spiritual abuse. Telling somebody they can do something that they can't do is wrong. And I think what we need is more of the gospel being light unto life and immortality. And that is in 2 Timothy 1:10. So we have two resurrections. The resurrections of Jesus Christ at the ninth hour is when God the Father raised him from the dead. So a lot of times we read verses where it says God raised him from the dead, and we misread that, meaning 3 days later. First of all, you got to have spiritual resurrection before you have physical resurrection. We are resurrected. Our first resurrection is being born again. Our second resurrection comes at the when Jesus Christ comes again. And he parts the clouds and he arrives here, and the dead in Christ rise first, then they that are alive shall meet him in the air. There we shall ever be. There's no kingdom gonna be on this earth for 1,000 years. There's no restoration of the sacrificial system in Israel. That's dispensationalism. That is against covenant theology. Covenant theology says It's fixed. God chose his family before the world began. And we here, I pray, are, I believe, a part of that because we sense our need of him. We want to learn more about him. And I believe that is an indication that we are children of God. But prior to being born again, we didn't desire it. So we may have been born again at 4 years old. We could have been born again in the womb. One cell big is all that's required. Physical conception is all that's required for God to have to deal with that entity. That is a known entity to God. And I believe, according to Revelation, that those children that die in the womb will be in heaven. Why? Because they have no works. You're not if the unjust are judged according to their works, these children have no works. John the Baptist leaped for joy in his mother's womb before he was born out of the womb. Jeremiah talks about that. There are so many examples. Aren't you glad that even the darkness of, I think, some children of God that kill their babies, they're not stopping God from saving those children? And I believe that there are so many children of God going to heaven as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. So based on God doing the saving, there's a lot more. So remember those few points, but I want to talk about the verse, like I said, that I read this morning. I hadn't read it before. In John, it says, that doeth truth equal light. If you want a mathematical formula, if you do truth, then you believe, I think, and you see the light. Because if we don't do truth, it's a lie. We do evil. And so doeth evil is darkness. So let's read John 3, 14 through 21. And it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. When did that occur? It occurred at the third hour at 9 a.m. roughly through 3 p.m. when he was when he was on the cross, but specifically from the sixth through the ninth hours when he was lifted up and made to be sin. I love the fact that even the symbol of a cross is a good symbol because it has a horizontal portion and a vertical portion. I think the vertical is the Son of God. The horizontal is when Jesus Christ, as the Son of Man, was made to be sin. We have a cross to bear, according to Luke 9:23, to take up our cross daily. Well, what's our horizontal? What's our horizontal is our flesh, our Adam nature. And we must die to that daily in order to have light. Otherwise, we have darkness. So let's continue to read. That whosoever believeth in him, believes in him, is present perfect, should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what we need. We need to have manifest eternal life or everlasting life. And the only way we're going to have that is to do light, which we're going to read about in a sec, which is light. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. By the way, our own nature doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. So our only hope is that our new nature believes in Jesus Christ. And he has to, because he's born of God and he can't sin. Therefore, we have something within us that's already everlasting and eternal. We're already living forever. Just got to lay the body down and be ready and wait the second coming of Christ when we have our second resurrection. So we're going to have two resurrections. We had one already. Jesus Christ, in the span of 43 days from noontime plus 3 days, plus 40 days, experienced eight things: two deaths, two burials, two resurrections, two ascensions. We're going to have that same thing. We're stopped at number four: death, burial, resurrection, ascension every day. I hope we're ascending today in that city. So we got four things that we have experienced or can experience. Next, number five is a death, physical death. Then a burial in the ground, like these saints that just died recently. They're going to rise again. And they're going to be resurrected at the second coming of Christ. And then it says an ascension. We're going to meet him in the air. So the only way we're going to get out of number five and six, which is a death and burial, is if Jesus comes and we're still alive. That would be great. I'd love for him to happen in the next few seconds, and we won't die. We won't be buried, and we'll go to heaven. So, continuing, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Okay. Light comes into us. God says, let there be light at our first resurrection, and we're born again. But our old nature still has darkness. And we're still wanting, for the life of me, I don't understand why we, from time to time, love darkness and want to be out of the holy city. Doesn't make sense. But it says that on the outside, there's not some pretty things going on, and we're in darkness. Why would we want to be in darkness? I don't like being in darkness. I don't think that none of y'all do either. I don't think a child of God wants to be in darkness. His new nature certainly doesn't, but the old nature does. For everyone that, and here's one of the things that I was trying to point out, for everyone that doeth evil, so we're contrasting doeth evil or doeth truth. Doeth means does. He, for everyone that doeth evil, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are that they are wrought in God. I could continue on and show a lot of things where verses where we're to be children of light, walk as children of light. But in the interest of time, I'd like to ask the Lord blessing on the rest of the service. And just remember that it is God who commands the light to shine out of darkness. And he has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. May we pray. Lord, we thank you so much for bringing light into the world, creating light. It is energy. Darkness is no energy. I mean, even the scientific world acknowledges that light, being electromagnetic energy, is something that we need. We need that to even have physical existence. And we thank you for that light, and that we should not grope in darkness. We should be equally yoked with people that are of light and not of darkness. We should try or beg you to help us to come to the light, which means doeth truth. And we thank you so much for that. We ask our blessings upon our nation, that we would, as a nation, doeth truth and have truth, accountability, and that we would not be liars as a nation, but we would promote those things which are godly. Thank you for all your love and blessings. Please bless those that have been mentioned. The prayers go up for them. Please bless the rest of the service as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen.